And in the studio, we've got a live guest. We've got the filmmaker Angus MacDonald. G'day, Angus. How are you?
G'day, Annie. Lovely to be here. I'm fine, thanks.
Yeah. Freedom is Beautiful. What a film. Great film. How did you get into making this film? Because it's not a usual film, is it?
No, I don't think it is, especially for me. I've never made a... It's my first feature film. Never made a feature film before, but I guess I've been engaged... I've been a painter for 25 years, but I've been engaged in the refugee issue probably for the last 5 or 6 years, making content, and I've met a lot of people who have been working in this space for a long time, and through a mutual friend called Craig Foster, I met Moz and Farhad, the two subjects of the film. Moz, this was a couple of years ago when Moz was still at the Park Prison in Melbourne, and Farhad had just recently been released a month before. And then we started to develop this idea of making a longer form film to share their stories and talk about the broader issues around Australia's policy.
And one of the things that you do in this film, which is really captivating, is actually put in the key cruelties, but you also have this incredibly expressive element to their sense of survival and personal journey and their creative spirits. It's so incredible, their voices, and the filmmaking doesn't get in the way. It's very fluid.
Oh, thanks. Well, I'm glad you think that. I mean, I really wanted to make sure that that I didn't get in the way of their stories and that they could tell them themselves. It's a very important part of pivotal aspect of the film. They also are very inspirational, articulate people. They're complementary personalities. They met on Manus through their kind of joint love of music and art, and have been very, very powerful activists against the policy, you know, both while they were held for almost 8 years and since they were released. And really, that, you know, they can tell that story well. And I really wanted to humanise this issue because one of the big problems, I guess, that the government so successfully managed to achieve in perpetuating this policy is to dehumanise all the individuals.
All numbers.
Yes, that's right. So, yeah, the guys are happy with the film. As an artist, I really didn't know how to make a film like this, which had advantages and disadvantages. I didn't really know what I couldn't do. But, yeah, it was definitely a labour of love, a devotional act over the past 2.5 years since I began it.
One of the things that's so extraordinary is how awful their lives were in Manus and how, I mean, it's all very well to talk about something like this, and I know that from the point of view of the people who were fighting for them to be given recognition here in Melbourne at the rallies and all the rest of it, and it's been decades now. The actually getting a sense of how bad it was. This film actually tells us that fighting is the only way. I mean, it was just so terrible. How dare they do this?
Yeah, well, I think a lot of people aren't really aware of the way this whole regime operated. I mean, on paper, you know, all the people that arrived here post July 19, 2013 were sent offshore to Manus or Nauru and were held in brutal conditions. But I think the really important part of the way they were treated is kind of below the surface, very invisible. It's the way they were humiliated on a daily basis. That's not something that you can easily convey, and I really wanted to do that because although a lot of people don't understand, a lot of Australians obviously don't understand what it's like to seek asylum, to be forced to leave their country, or to be held in detention, I think we all understand at some point in our life the idea of being humiliated and how painful it is. And if you expand that idea out to a whole system, a regime consciously designed by the federal government to humiliate individuals on a daily basis, probably it's the best way to try and get Australian people to understand a little bit about how that worked, because it was a kind of top-to-bottom thing.
Yeah.
And I think that taking away the dignity of people and humiliating them deliberately through a range of things on a daily basis, that was really probably the cornerstone of the policy, why there was so much suffering.
Yes, a lot of suffering. I mean, even down to the description of being hundreds of people being in close quarters for hours,
yes,
not being able to get, I mean, and things like spending hours and hours in the hot sun waiting to be fed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just an outrage. Who do they think they are? I say to myself, I'm going to have a section on this program called Who Do They Think They Are?
Good idea.
There's these people making this film with these people, with Fahad and Mustafa. They are really extraordinary people,
yes.
But also they tell us how they survived. Like, Fahad, you see it in his face, like his eyes. Mm. He's got such character and such sadness and gravitas. They talk about how art saved their lives.
Yes. Well, you know, as an artist myself, I guess the way art was so crucial to them was probably the most fascinating part for me about learning about their stories and telling it in the film. People talk a lot about art being powerful, but to actually see how that worked in practice with these two guys was incredible, and I really wanted to make sure that I tried as much as I could to convey that in the film. And they used art in three ways. One of them was just to basically to survive, because art gave them a way to transport themselves outside their circumstances, their daily life. They could get lost in their own art. The second thing they used art for was for peaceful resistance. So they wrote songs and made paintings and wrote poetry about the system, about humanity, and that was their form of resistance, because their struggle against the system was always peaceful. And the third thing that art did for them was, by creating art and sharing it, they were able to make a network of connections on the outside, and that was a crucial part of their support, personal support, and support for their activism. So art was really, at a base level, the most important part of their survival.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. The other thing that people have to remember is we're not talking about a little time. We're talking 8 years. We're talking years and years and years of people's lives.
That's right. I mean, think for all of us, think about what's happened to in our lives in the last 8 years, and probably all the things that have happened, all the changes in our life, all the things that happened with our families and our friends. For guys like Moz and Fahad and all the other people that were held, their lives were basically on hold. And they were dealing for 8 years with this system that actually pushed them down on a daily basis, made them sick, made them ill, gave them PTSD. While, you know, for most people who were free, we just had our normal lives with lots of amazing things happening, lots of choices in our life. So 8 years is a very, very long time, especially at their age. You know, they came when they were in their 20s. I think Fahad was 29. That's a very important part of people's lives, and that section was taken away from them.
Yeah, and actually the part of the film that actually tells us about where they've come from is really fascinating too, I'll have to say, being in constant war.
Yes, well, Kurdish people, you know, are born really into a world where their culture is not really recognised. There is no country of Kurdistan, even though there's millions and millions of Kurdish people. And I guess when the West was carving up sovereign borders around the world, Kurdistan didn't get a country. And particularly for the Kurdish people that live in the Iranian part of Kurdistan, their lives are horrendous. They can't speak their language. They can't write their language in school. They can't express their culture in any way. So life for a Kurdish person in Iran is extremely difficult if they want to agitate, you know, if they want to play ball and they decide it's easier to comply and be trodden down. Well, I guess they can survive. But for people that want to speak out and people that love their culture, and Kurdish people, you know, love their indigenous culture, it's a very difficult place to live, which is, you know, the reason why these two particular guys, along with many others, were forced to to flee.
Yeah, well, that's an interesting point that's made, that the Australian government created a system that was so vile that they were inducing people to go back to that situation.
That's correct, Danny. The whole point of this horrendous system was to make life so difficult, even possibly more difficult than the place they'd fled from, both to encourage people to return home, which they could do any time, even if that meant going back to a place where their lives were in danger. And secondly, the government wanted to use sacrifice the people that had sought asylum here as a deterrent to discourage other people from coming. The whole system's completely surreal and horrendous.
Well, that was interesting too, the criminalisation. There was a sequence where Moz is being patted down, continually patted down. In fact, he said the statistics for the amount of times that he's been patted down. Mm. And the sheer violation of that on a person, and the thinness, he's reed thin. It's such a compelling moment in that film, and and what your film really does is actually put us in their position.
Well, I'm glad if it does, because that's really a hard thing to do. It's very hard for, you know, Australians are decent people. But it's very difficult with this issue to try and make people understand that it's important to, if we have rights, if we enjoy our freedoms, for anyone else that we're responsible for to fight for their right for the same. It's very, very difficult to convince Australians to see that. I mean, you know, we don't have to see it. Nobody's obliged to care about this. But I tried to make the point that, you know, developing empathy for anyone we're responsible for in our society is very important, makes our society stronger. And if the government's able to take one cohort and treat them like this, who's going to be the next cohort?
That's right.
I mean, one day it might come back to us. You just don't know. So we've got to stick together and act in solidarity to protect anyone whose rights are being violated in our society. Anyone.
And that is nature of this film. I mean, we've been through the brutality of it, and Fahad is a shining light in this. He has a very sophisticated understanding of the situation, and it was impossible for him to lay down tools. He had to fight. Extraordinary person. And Australia is lucky to have him, if you ask me.
Yeah, I agree.
The joy in this film, and it comes out in the title, which is, of course, Freedom is Beautiful. Mm. And it is just such a fantastic acclamation.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I didn't want to make a film that focus too much on the politics or on the difficulties they face, but obviously in order to provide some context, I needed to talk about it. But I really tried to limit that and talk more about where their resilience came from, and that really was an idea that they refused to give into hatred and resentment to people in the system, that they remain hopeful and they tried to exist in love. And I think that's why their messaging is so powerful, because they somehow were able to do that. I don't know how they did that. I mean, you know, they're incredible. But I think that was the key to their survival, was that they were able to always remain hopeful and positive and to remain loving of people and understand that those who were working in the system were kind of like robots, which is how they saw them. Now, they're very compassionate, kind, generous people.
Yeah, they certainly are. Now, the film is a great success. It's a part of the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and it sold out. It sold out for its screening for today, which is at 7:10 at the Nova. But so they've had to make room for another screening tomorrow.
Yes.
That's right. We're on Saturday. So that's tomorrow. Sunday, the 30th.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. We've got another screening for people that missed out on tickets today. So it's tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. It's also at Cinema Nova. So there are still tickets available for that if anyone would like to come along. The guys will be at both screenings. So if you come, you might get the opportunity to meet them tomorrow. Today there's a Q&A with Mosin Farhad and myself and Craig Foster, who's been a kind of instrumental part of this whole story, a very close friend and ally of both the men since they were back on Manus many years ago.
Yeah, that's right. The man who went, the man who used his personal fame for good.
Exactly. Yeah, he's an incredible guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. It's a great thing to have people doing the right thing. Never give the bad a free kick.